Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. How you doing? We left that pause in there for you to answer audibly. Hi, I'm Adam Beebe. I'm one of your hosts for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly infusion of true live weird stories, experiences of the unknown, unnatural, and unequivocal, or something. And with me is my man, Barry Johnston.
Unsomething. We are, yes. We're all about it.
Yes. How's as long as it's not unpopular.
So. Right, exactly. How's it going?
All right, man. I am doing pretty good. Had a little bit more kickback of some of that cold weather.
Yeah.
This past week, man, it got really cold for a few days here.
Did it? Do you get any snow or?
Got a flurry. One day where we had a lot of flurry, but yeah. Nothing that really accumulated. It seemed the amount of snow that was coming down seemed like it would have accumulated a bit more, but it really didn't. And it wasn't that it was like melting when it got to the ground, because I mean it was cold. It was like, you know, like 15.
Right. So. Yeah. That's you get quite a bit of snow there or no?
You know, it seems it's less than I expected, right. Honestly. Now, Cincinnati is kind of it's in a valley, you know, it's kind of in the lower down part of the Ohio River there. So places more north of us tend to get more snow. Right, and of course I'm right down there on the river, you know, I mean, not exactly on the river, but I'm right close, you know, to it.
Right.
So I guess it makes it warmer.
It's like a little microclimate there situation.
Kind of, something like that, I guess. So
that's cool.
But it still gets pretty cold. But there was a few days, there were several days here where it recently where it was, well, I guess in last week it was in the teens and in the, you know, the 20s and 30s. And of course, I know a lot of the country has been hit with a cold winter in places. Yeah. But this one really, really came in and punched us when we weren't looking because, you know, I mean, it was 50s, 60s the week before. I mean,
right.
It was a warm Christmas too. So,
yeah, it's been it was mild up until a few days ago and then it got a little bit chilly and then we got some rain and it's been overcast and rainy for the last day, a little over a day. But you know how it is here. It's like you'll wake up and it'll be cold in the morning and then it'll warm up to 70 sometimes. The next day it may only get up to 35. It's just a crapshoot. But, you know, nothing's too different on that front. It just makes it difficult to sink into a rhythm whenever it's just up and down and up and down. I'd rather it be, if it's going to be cold, just stay cold because that way I can get used to it.
Yeah, consistent seasons, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think it seems to me that this area is a little bit more consistent with the weather, unlike Oklahoma, you know, and Oklahoma is one of those places. Of course, everybody says this about, you know,
where
they grow up, you know, but where you wait five minutes and the weather will change.
Yeah.
But it seems like this area, it's a little bit more consistent. We had a lot of rain in the days before the cold snap.
Right.
And then we had the cold snap and it was just like, you know, so fortunately though, and there wasn't a lot of like ice and stuff like that. That's what I was worried about because, you know, within my, normal gig of you know, delivering and a lot of time out in the country and stuff, you know, it's getting stuck in mud and getting, you know, and ice on the road, so that's can get scary.
Yeah, but, no kidding, I didn't think about that. That's something that you got to be worried about for sure. You got to be careful.
Yeah, man, a couple of weeks ago it was raining. It had been raining all day and the day before, and I was out in, you know, a more rural area. And I was trying to turn around in these people's yard, and I saw where they had – did I tell you this story? I may have told you, but I saw where they kind of pulled into their grass and, you know, would turn around because they had a smaller driveway area, but there was out in farm. So, you know, they had this area where they had – you know, you could see where it was – the grass wasn't as thick as the other areas, and there was a car parked next where, you know. So I pull in, and then – I'm trying to reverse and I get stuck. And so I try to go in more and I can't get out. I can't get stuck. And I felt so bad. And it's like a Sunday night. Like, and it was like, you know, I think it was like right before Christmas. Yeah. And, you know, so I go and I like knock on these people's front door. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm out here delivering packages and I got stuck in your yard.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, of course, it's raining and we're saying, and the lady who's, you know, there, she's like, oh, it's okay, you know. I was like, can you help me? I don't know, you know, I'll push it if you get in, you know, or whatever,
right.
And we'll, you know, I'll push it out. I just need somebody to steer it or whatever. She's like, oh no, okay. Well, she's like, I'll get my husband, we'll come out. So she and her husband came out, and I was talking to, you know, them, and they're like, well, can you go forward? And I was like, well, I, you know, I tried going backwards, but I couldn't, so I might be able to go forward. And because then it was like they had a, you know, bigger part of their yard area that went to a field in another road. And they're like, well, just pull forward. And I was like, I'm so, you know, I feel so bad about this. I'm so sorry. You know, I feel really terrible. And they're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're like, just go, just tear through. So, so I drove forward and I was able to like get up enough speed to like where I didn't sink as much as quickly, you know. So I was able to get out of it. But, man, I felt so terrible.
That's the worst.
But those people were so friendly and so kind. And that's one of the reasons I like it where I'm at. So right.
Good. Good.
You know, it's a good Midwestern area, that's just good. Like back home in Oklahoma. So
that's good, man. Well, speaking of where we're at, we have a guy who is close to where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fellow Oklahoman, and we got in touch with him actually through my wife, and she saw him on a TV show, and she was like riveted with his story, and she got him on Facebook, I believe. She sent a message to him and he responded. Mm-hmm. Super nice guy. His name's Dustin. And he was kind enough to come on, and he touches on the story that he shared on that show, but we go a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, we get a little bit more elaborate versions and expanded upon. So
yes. So yeah, I'm excited for this story. It's it's really good, and it's intense, man.
Yeah, and nice and spooky. Turn your if you got the earphones, your headphones on, turn them up, and get in a good comfy position, and join us when we ask. No, not that. That was my cat.
That was perfect.
That was perfect.
Oh, that's great.
Goodness, when we ask, Dustin, what's your weird story?
All right, man. This one is a pretty long one. It goes, kind of stretches across my whole life. I'll tell you basically, I guess I'll start whenever I started noticing these things, okay?
Cool.
I was probably, say, about 5 years old, and I just weird little things started happening. I started hearing, like, scratches on my walls. I'd hear banging. Right up next to my head, just really loud, just like somebody just punched the wall, you know. And you know, living in Oklahoma, you know what it's like. You go tell your parents these things and they're just go to bed, you know, knock it off.
Right.
And there's nobody really to tell, you know.
Yeah.
Well, these things keep happening, they're getting more and more intense. And then one night I'm laying in bed and I see a silhouette of a head and shoulders in my window, and I get up and I crack the window blinds a little bit, and there's an old lady standing there looking at me. She looks at me, gives me this weird look, and disappears. I run into my parents' house, my parents' room, immediately. Again, you know, you knock it off. You're trying not to go to sleep. I need you to go to bed. Go to bed. You know, it's yeah. the same thing every night.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, this starts happening pretty often, pretty frequent. I actually had other cousins that would come over and stay the night. They'd have similar experiences kind of happen. Just stuff would freak them out. They'd hear scratching and stuff. This kind of happened after. People started telling me everything after I came on the Travel Channel, you know. Right. Oh, where were you at 20 years ago? But basically, you know, these things just kept happening, and they're happening to other people as well. Well, when I'm hitting, you know, about 9-10 years old, I live close enough to the school, so I start walking home every day. And while I'm in there doing my homework from 3 to 5 o'clock, whenever my parents get home, it's just absolute hell. It'll start off, I'll hear, you know, footsteps going up and down the hallway. That's kind of how it would begin the first couple days. And then I started feeling it walking up behind me. You can just tell when somebody walks up behind you. And it's making the hair on my arm stand up right now thinking about it.
Mine too, man. I mean,
it gets worse. It actually starts getting worse. I get a little bit older. I'm about 12 years old. And it starts touching me and breathing on me and saying stuff in my ears. And I'm sitting here just trying to do my homework, you know. I'm sitting there, and it's getting to where I'm not able to do it. I'm just scribbling because I'm so scared and I'm shaking, and everything's just, you know, and nobody's believing me on top of that. So I've got all this stuff going on, and then I'm being called a liar basically at the same time, you know.
Right.
And I'm completely lost. It's completely isolating. You know, it's I don't like my friends coming over because I'm scared of stuff happening. I don't let nobody come over. Like, the only people that get to come over is my cousins, because I'm scared of being a freak at school too, because that's the little bit where I'm normal. So
of course
it's and I get to where I start dragging my feet coming home every day. And in that, I'm not really doing my homework. So my grades are dropping. So now I'm getting in more trouble, and it's affecting my whole life. I mean, literally, until finally my mom gets a new job. And we move. And I'm talking, it was amazing. We lived into a bigger house on the other side of town. I had, you know, I started having friends. I started playing sports. Everything was going great. And then my mom took a job at the school that I went to. And we ended up moving across the street from the school. And it started again. It started kind of real. I was about 16, 17 at this time, and it started kind of gradual. We had a little weenie dog, and she started running up down the hallway, biting at the air, really freaking out. And then it came to the point where doors started opening and stuff while I was laying there asleep. Wow. And then one night I'm laying on the bed, and I hear my bedroom door shut, my closet door swings open, and somebody sits on my bed. And I leaned up, and I just said, I didn't know who it was. I said, Mom. And it was a real loud, grumpy voice, or gravelly voice, just goes, "This ain't your mama."
Oh.
And I popped up, ran down the hallway, and I slept in between my parents.
Whoa. Okay. So was this a different entity than, or whatever you were experiencing at the old house, or is it?
It yes and no. I'm not totally sure on this one. This one kind of throws a loop for me because other people experienced him too inside the same bedroom. They lived there before me.
Okay.
And when I asked them about it, this is another crazy thing. I asked, it was a coach that lived there before me. I asked him about it, and he looked at me like I was crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, I tell the story, and then he comes back and goes, "Well, my daughter had that bedroom, you know, and this happened." And I was like, nobody believed me until, you know, until I go on talking about it. But here's the kicker is now we live right across the street from the school, and Empire's a good distance away from Duncan. So there's one night I was needing a soda, and instead of running to town 15 minutes, I went ahead and just went across the street. Well, there is a new gym they just built there over the old high school, which was the original school they built like in the 20s.
Right.
Well, one of the windows comes open while I'm getting my soda, and I look back, and you can see it's completely pitch black in there. But you can see the head and the shoulders that's darker than what the darkness was. He shot out of the window and came right up on my face, just right there. And I took off running as fast as I could across the street. I left my soda, everything over there. I couldn't handle it no more. But this was It was truly definitive, and people are still not totally believing me what's going on. So I'm just sitting here. I had to eat that one. How can you explain that one? Because that's right out in the open, you know?
Right.
Ghost in the open, right? Well, my mom, she was about a year or two go by. It's still kind of slowly, just little stuff happening here and there. My mom was the cafeteria manager, and she left her purse inside the cafeteria. And I went down there to go get it, and I walked inside the front door. This one freaks me out still, and this has been 20-something years ago. When I walked in the door, there was a man there, and he had a little short-brim hat. You could see he had a duster on, and then he came from around the edge of the hot bar, and he didn't have anything from about the chest down. He was just kind of a floating torso.
Whoa.
Well, I took off running, and I ran through the door. I just ran to my mom's office because he was between me and the door to get out. So I just ran back there. And as soon as I made it through the door into the big cafeteria part, he was there in front of me. He was there. Whoa. And I kind of shook him a little bit, and then I ran all the way back to my mom's office. And as soon as I pulled her keys out, I dropped the keys. And when I look up, I reached down to grab him, and I looked up. He's right there looking down at me, and he's got his hands out this time. So I turn around, and I'm fighting with the keys. I drop them. I pick them up again. Of course, in true horror story fashion, I drop the keys like 6 times.
Of course.
But I finally get inside this office, and I slam the door, and he's beating on the door and everything. Whoa. Now here's where it gets kind of interesting is.
Here's where
I knew it was the same guy. It's the same one from when I was a kid. Uh-huh. Was then he does the scratching sound on the door, and it sounds identical to whenever I to the one I heard when I was a kid. It's just all the way down it, and then uh-huh. it was like hearing your favorite song. You know every beat, every tempo,
right?
And I dropped to my knees. I froze. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe. And I'm just like, what do I do here? So I got up, and I finally got the nerve to call my dad. And I didn't tell him that I thought it was a ghost. I had him I told him that there was somebody broke in. So he come running down there with a gun and everything. And I finally, you know, he got down there, and he realized there's nothing there. I knew he wasn't going to find nobody. I knew it.
Right.
You know? And I explained it. I explained what happened. I told him, I described the guy, the thin mustache, everything like that. And he kind of goes, okay, we need to go up to the house. We need to go, you know, draw this guy for me. Well, I went and sat down at the kitchen table, and I drew the picture out, and his jaw kind of dropped. And my mom came in, and she saw the picture, and she just kind of, you know, freaked out too. And come to find out, when I was a little baby, I lived in this house on Beach Street in Duncan, right on the railroad tracks, a little greenhouse. This guy showed himself to my mom, and he looked down at me, looked at her, smiled, and just disappeared. A couple of weeks go by, and he showed himself to my cousin as well and did the same thing. Well, my dad, he's making fun of everybody. And one morning, my crib was at the foot of their bed. He woke up, says about 8 o'clock. He looked down, and he said the guy just looked at him, looked down at me, looked at him, shook his head, and smiled, disappeared. It was the guy I drew.
Whoa.
Man.
Damn, yeah, man.
So your parents had this experience. They had this experience. And yet they were like saying, when you're a little kid coming and saying, all this crazy shit is happening, they were like, no, go to bed. They were just like,
they figured once we moved, it was over. And what are the chances of moving into 2 haunted houses?
Right. Wow.
Well, it sounds like it was attached to you rather than, you know,
that's kind of where, what gets me to where I'm at now in life. There's been more things that happen, you know, all the way, like just not even maybe a year ago, I was walking through my office at work, and I was talking to one of the office ladies, and there's a guy coming up behind me, and one of the phones flew off the desk and hit me in the side. And I'm so used to stuff like that happening. I just picked it up, put it down there. I looked up, and the guy I was working with was just completely freaked out. And so was the office lady. I was like, wow. Oh, by the way, I got a little buddy, you know. it's not such a big deal now. He has to be acknowledged. And these are kind of some things that I've realized with him, and I've realized that with talking to other people, is like, So I've got to be alone sometimes because he's trying to talk to me. And this is going to sound really wild. Like I said, I guess this is perfect for this podcast, but he talks to me in my own voice so he don't freak me out. I've been told that he showed himself to me because he thought I was finally ready when I was 16, and apparently I wasn't. So he's more like a spirit guide type thing. He's trying to help point me in the right direction.
Wow.
And when I'm not paying him no attention, he's doing anything he can to catch my attention, and that's why.
So that's why you think that's why whenever he's really trying to get your attention is when he's terrifying you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, the other times, there's other times that, I just jumped in, but, you know, I'll let you go and when he's not doing that, when he's, I guess, being friendly.
It's like he's just the only way I can explain it is sometimes I'll be sitting in a corner talking to myself.
Okay.
And it's literally because I'll be hearing voices in my head and I'll just start answering them. And I don't even realize I'm doing it until somebody says, "What are you?" And I'm like, hang on a minute. And I'll just go to the bathroom. You know?
Yeah.
It's a weird deal.
I can.
And it's what it's kind of turned into is I've really gotten into paranormal investigating and stuff like that.
Right.
And what it's done is like, if you guys have ever heard of, I got a page called Mysterious State. I don't know if you guys ever go there, but I had a guy wanted to film me back a couple of years ago. His name's Kevin Tucker.
Okay.
And he said it was so active with me around. So he just started wanting to film it every time we went to these investigations, and we're going to places that he's been to 100 times. And he says, we're getting more evidence with me there than what he is with any other group that he's ever went with. Wow. So we started documenting it and put it on Mysterious State. And that's kind of where that's turned to.
Okay. But so is this something that you're actively doing now? Like, are you're hunting now? Is that a part of what you're doing with this? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it, and like I said, it's just like it'll take me a little while, but I'll kind of figure out where I need to go, and it may not even be a spot that they consider an active spot, but I'll get the answers that I need. There was one episode a while back. This is a really wild story too, but we're at a house. These people were having all kinds of things happening, and we broke out the spirit box. It's just the SB11. I use that pretty often.
Okay.
One of the voices come across said, "Please untie me." And it was a woman's voice. And it was like the people kind of their jaws dropped and everything. I didn't think nothing about it. I just thought we grabbed some random radio station or something. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out their uncle had helped their aunt commit suicide. He had tied her up and put a bag over her head and just waited a couple hours. And
wait, hold on. It wasn't a murder. It was she helped commit suicide.
Yeah, he only got 8 years for manslaughter. I mean, there's a news article and all that stuff we posted up to go with our evidence. But it's that type of stuff that I'm getting. You know what I'm saying? That's definitive.
Wild, dude, I have so many questions. I have so many questions, man. I mean, that. So
sorry about
so that. No, you're good. Okay, so your spirit guide, this gentleman who's been haunting you for your entire life, basically, he's helping you in this. Is that what you're saying? He's communicating with.
Wow. Yeah. Now here's kind of some other things that kind of go along with this. As we kind of find out, my dad, he's real introvert, kind of like me. I don't really like being around a lot of people and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We started realizing there's some similarities there and stuff, and he don't necessarily have like the guide like I have, but he has intuition or something like mm-hmm. that. And then because after the episode comes out, I have cousins and stuff. My family's really religious, right? And they tell me about my
great-grandparents. Well, you are from Oklahoma. I mean, you know.
Oh,
it's in the water.
Right.
I'm so far from I'm such a black sheep compared to the rest of the family. as far as, like, religion and stuff goes.
Right.
But basically, they started telling me stories about, like, my great-great-grandpa. And he was paid by banks to travel around the West and go get ghosts out of houses. And then it's like he said he had a spirit guide similar to kind of what what I do, and that's what he did with it. And that's it's kind of like a family thing now is what it's
interesting,
I'm finding out. I didn't just fall into it.
So you say so he worked for the banks? He would like I'm assuming they would take homes over or whatever, and then he would go in there and try to rid them of their
stay a couple nights.
Right. Wow.
Figure out how to get,
How long ago was this? Do you know?
This was in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Wow. That's intense, man. And that was that
but
here?
That makes sense time-wise during the spiritualism.
It was
yeah, right.
Yeah, it's in Oklahoma and Texas. Okay. You know, New Mexico. There's some stories from New Mexico in there and stuff like
wow.
that. But it's like, yeah, and my grandmother kind of had some stuff similar, like intuition. It goes with every generation, and it's just.
So with your with your family being so religious, was this just not something that they talked about because they were afraid, you know, like to be taken kind of weird, or
it was never talked about. I didn't know anything about it until I came out with it that I was this is just what I'm doing now. You know? I spray yards for a living, but this is what I do when it gets dark outside.
Right. Wow. Yeah. This is what we do when it gets dark outside. That is so crazy, man. That's pretty compelling.
It's different. It's different, but at the same time, it's like if you have an open mind and you realize exactly that there's more to it than what you're taught growing up, you know, it's there's just so much more to life than heaven, hell, all that stuff in the middle. You know what I'm saying? It's just right. There's so much more.
Yeah.
Or afterlife, I guess, would be afterlife, more accurate. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. There's so much more. Just open your mind and really pay attention to what you can see.
Yeah. Well,
I think that, and I think Barry's probably getting ready to say something like this too, but I think that there's something, certain people are definitely more attuned to whatever it is. You know, like it goes in your family, you know, there's something that is just set up with you guys where your perception of these, you're able to perceive these things. Cause I don't think everybody's like that. Cause I mean, I am famously blind to anything like that. And it's almost a running joke because like, one of our early guests, she lived in an apartment in college and, she moved out. Because this apartment was so haunted, it just scared the crap out of her, and she had to leave, and she left early. And then the next person to move in didn't see a thing. And the neighbor that was next door saw even more crazy stuff. We had her on, Rosa, and she saw even more crazy stuff than Emily, the first girl. And the reason I know all this because I'm the person who moved in after Emily got scared out of the apartment and never saw a thing.
I'm agree with you completely on that. I don't think everybody can see them. I don't think everybody can. I've said that several times. Yeah. It's something with, and honestly, it's mostly with like, I have a little, it's native blood. It's kind of a,
okay. That was, I was going to ask you that, but I didn't know if it'd be appropriate. So I didn't.
I'm about a quarter Chickasaw. That's
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I that do think that sense. There's something in that.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, coming from Oklahoma, it does make sense, you know, because there's a whole, the spiritualism in Native American culture is so much more, you know, and it's so much more involved. It's not so, you know, like the our, you know, the European side. If the people of the Oklahomans, you know, or just in general, that spiritualism is, you know, which is predominantly Christianity, is not as open. I mean, it's very, very, you know, these are the rules that we have and this is all what it is. And, you know, and even the people who are kind of open to it are some of the churches that are open to like, you know, talking in tongues or demons, seeing demons and angels and stuff like that are kind of off to the side of the, you know, the mainstream of everybody there. So that makes, but so like you having native, that much native blood in you totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of with the whole investigating thing. It's kind of like a journey for me too, because I'm still learning new stuff all the time as well that I didn't know I could, you know, right. Not saying that I'm not like psychic or nothing like that. I just got a buddy that helps me out is basically the way I look at it. But I'm just learning more stuff that we can do, I guess, right. In a roundabout way.
So it's something that you sort of are developing or something that you put more time, if you put more time into it, you get more out of it, I guess, in a way, right?
The more you use it.
Right. That is fascinating, man. You talk about how he talks to you and you're, you know, sort of, you have conversations or whatever in your mind.
Yeah.
I've had that happen to me one time and that's how I can relate to what you're saying. It was odd. I've told the story
before. You almost go in like a trance.
Man. When my grandmother died, the night she died, man, she came to visit me, man. And that's the best way I can describe it, dude. And I stood in front of a mirror and I had a conversation with her for about a half hour, 45 minutes.
Wow.
It was intense, man. And I could never figure out how to explain that to somebody. But hearing you talk about that it was clear as a bell to me what was going on. You know, in the moment, I knew exactly what was going on. But then I tried to explain that to other people, and I soon found myself not talking about that because there's no way to explain it, you know. And you look like you're nuts, you know, which is why you don't talk about that kind of stuff.
I'm so bad about not talking about anything now because of all this stuff that's, you know, happened. My wife gets on to me all the time because, hey, you don't tell me nothing, you know, but it's just like,
yeah.
To me, it's, I figured it all out in my head. So I don't need to tell anybody else, you know,
right. My buddy's got it,
you know? It's when it does happen to me though, you almost go into it's like a trance. It happens to me a lot when I'm driving too. It's kind of the best time that it happens. I'll be driving and then just all of a sudden I'm talking and that's it, you know. It's
right.
Almost hypnotizing, but
yeah,
that's kind of the easiest way to explain it. I'm happy that, you know, I could explain it for you as well. You could kind of
Yeah, it may never happen again ever, you know, but it was just a weird thing, man. When she passed away, I didn't know it. But I had a feeling that just kind of came over me and it just washed over me, I guess you could say. But I was in the middle of work and I was bartending and it was like a Friday or Saturday night, man. It was really busy, dude. But it was like in the middle of all this chaos, man, I just got hit with just a blanket of warmth, you know? And I knew that it was coming, you know what I mean? My mom told me, you know, that it's not looking good. But it was bizarre. And I go home that night, man, and it was just weird. It's such a strange thing. And I feel lucky that I had that, whatever that was. I feel like I was really fortunate to have that because it just felt like she was making her last connection. You know what I mean?
It's like closure, kind of. Give you a
exactly,
little bit of
exactly, dude. It. You know, and the weird thing
is, it don't hurt so bad.
Right. Yeah. Because she was very ill the last few years of her life. It was just not a good situation, man. She was not in her right mind. And you know what I mean, man? It was like I'd never had the ability to really connect with her again. And she was the grandmother that was like just all love, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was just
What's kind of bad though, whenever that those grandmothers and stuff like that pass on, though, is it's like that's the one that kind of holds the family together.
Oh,
and
totally, dude.
You don't really see all those uncles and aunts and stuff that you used to see all the time.
Right.
Yep.
It's that's what makes that one hurt a little bit more too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. Yeah. And
speaking of the I guess the grandmotherly type. So you the first apparition that you saw was the old lady.
Yeah.
Did you see her again?
You know, this is going to sound kind of wild too. My neighbor next door was a elderly lady, and I'm not sure if that wasn't her or not. I used to go. She died right in there when I was about 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
I just was so young. I never knew any difference. I used to go give her a newspaper every day, and she'd give me a candy bar. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had an attachment to her, and I'm wondering if that was, to me, that was her kind of saying, see ya, you know?
Right.
And it's about the time she passed away. She went overnight and all that stuff. So to me, that's what that was.
Right.
I kind of, the only one I don't completely have a name with is the one that's actually always with me.
Right.
I can see his face and everything like that, but he don't show himself to me no more. And I make sure, like, my family gets left alone, you know.
Do you know anything? Do you know anything about him at all? Like any personal stuff?
Just what he looks like.
Okay.
Just what he looks like. A D keeps popping up to me. A D.
Okay.
Do you have any idea of, like, what era his clothes are from or anything like that that you would draw?
A long time ago, he had duster. It was like Billy the Kid era.
Right.
So he's like a cowboy.
Yeah. He looked like that. He basically looked kind of similar to how Billy the Kid dressed in Young Guns. He was similar to that, just with the duster.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, white shirt, suspenders, duster, hat.
Right. Wow.
Just nothing from the waist down.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story. Wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
You know, we've had a lot of people on the show that have had these haunting experiences, man, we keep saying that we wish we knew someone, or we wish we could, you know, make a connection with people when they have these things, you know, that, you know, they could be investigated, or that they could be maybe in contact with somebody that could help them. Dude, I'm telling you, the girl that we had on last week, Bree.
Oh, man. Yeah.
She was dealing with some really dark stuff, man. And I kept telling her, be careful, you know, because you don't know what that thing is capable of. And golly, man. But you know, meaning
so many amateur groups out there now.
Right. Right.
They can make it worse.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the thing. You gotta be careful what you're doing to provoke, or, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do. So
you see a lot of, especially on, you know, obviously on TV because it's a visual medium, but you see a lot of investigators they go in and they really agitate ghosts, and they really like try to insult them and really try to get them all worked up, and that just seems like a really bad idea.
They go home at the end of it, and then those people are stuck there with it. You're not doing anybody any favors by doing that.
Yeah.
You're wanting to, you're trying to be the medium between that entity and the people. It's like, there's no surefire way to get rid of them, so you got to kind of learn how to live with a bad roommate, you know? Your roommate eating all your potato chips, you got to tell them stop eating those potato chips.
This is
similar thing, you know?
Have you had an experience like that, where you've had to deal with something like that? Any dark stuff like that?
Nothing. I haven't really came across stuff that tries to pose as being demonic. Now, to say that's not going to happen, I don't really say demonic. I say negative entity. I'm a little different with how I investigate. I think religious completely out of it. And look at the facts. I haven't really came across many negative entities. I came across some that tried to pose that way. They'd scratch me up and stuff like that.
Really? Physically scratched you?
I think that's something with me too. Because they started touching me and stuff when I was like 8 or 9. When I was sitting there at my desk, when I started really freaking out, I could feel the fingernails and stuff on the back of my neck. I mean, I can it starts off, it's really the easiest way to explain it is it starts off like cobwebs, and then it gets cold, and then you feel the fingers.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Your hair stands up first. And that's, now it's similar whenever you get scratched, as it gets really cold, then really hot, and then it's there.
Right.
And it's just a red mark. It's not, I've never.
Were you having a dialogue with this thing, or was it just out of the blue when this type of stuff happens? Was it just.
A couple of times I was just trying to get them to come out. And they were trying to say no, basically. And then a couple of times I was having dialogue, and I got them upset a little bit. I asked something they didn't like.
I gotcha. Wow.
Yeah, and it was everything will peg out, and then boom, there it is. You know, it's mostly this arm, and it's goosebumping me up talking about it, thinking about it.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to explain too. Is whenever they touch you and stuff, you get like a touch of their emotion. If that makes any sense. Yeah, so like for a couple of minutes, you'll be really mad, or sometimes I'll just break out and start crying, like full on, you know, right. Ugly crying type stuff. And it's like, there's nothing I could do about it. They just were wanting to make, they made a connection with me, and they're letting me know how they feel. Whoa. And it was like, yeah, it's the wildest thing ever. I'm not psychic. I'm sensitive. That's the easiest way to put it. I'm sensitive.
Right, sure.
So when did you start investigating, going out in the field and like?
I went with another group and started in about 2008. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of broke off, and me and my family started Steve's County Apparition Research Society. It's a Scars Paranormal Group, is what we call it. We started that. We ran it till just a couple of years ago, and that's whenever I jumped into Mysterious State. Everybody started moving off and everything, so it's kind of easier just to run a one-man team right now. So,
gotcha.
Right.
And okay,
cool.
I've been doing it, I guess, about 11 years.
So can you? Is there any of those investigations that you can, you know, give us stories about that, or are you like, is that something that you kind of keep? Those are private. I don't know.
A lot of my public places I can talk about. There was the coolest thing I ever had happen to me was it's been probably back last April. We went to, I can't say the location, but it was a old TB hospital in the South. That's all they let us say. I'll tell you guys here in a little bit. But I was setting up all my equipment in the violent patients ward. And I was just like, some reason I was drawn up there. I wanted to go up there. Well, my camera guy just turned the camera on, looking down at me, and K2 360 periscope, electroscope, everything just started going off all the way up to me. And then it was just like a rush. I had like 1,000 voices in my head, and it was just, I couldn't understand what any of them were saying. It was just a whole bunch of verbal mess. And it got me really tired really fast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And throughout the night, we had different like pebbles. I get hit in the back of the head by a little rock. We had random voices, people whistling at us, you know, just all kinds of stuff just from everywhere. It was the most active place I've ever seen in my life. And I would love to take you guys there sometime if you ever want to get out.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. You don't have to ask me twice.
dude, it's a little bit of a drive, but man, we travel everywhere.
Dude, I keep,
like I said, I'd love to out sometime.
Fuck yeah. Well, I keep telling my wife that I'm gonna take her on, we're gonna do one of these, like, you know, haunted hotels or some shit. We did do the Stanley hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, a while back, man. But we just did the ghost tour. We didn't stay there because she talks a big game. She thinks that she can handle it, you know, and I'm always like, there's no way, you know. But I would love to do something like that. I mean, okay, there's a part of me that would love to do that, but then there's a part of me that's like, I don't know if I could handle it either. You know, I don't know.
this place that me and Kevin are planning on going. It's so big that we could take 20 people and we could never see each other. We're wanting to get a good sized group out there, so, because last time we went, it was just me and him, and we couldn't cover the whole place. And we had, like, during the daytime, it was me and him walking through a hallway. You can see my shadow on the wall. You can see his shadow on the wall. And you see another shadow on the wall behind us. Then another one. We turn around and they sit down. And, I mean, like, it's the Concho Indian School in El Reno.
Okay.
A
boarding school. It's got all kinds of cool art and stuff on it. It's almost completely in ruins, but Dude, one of the most active places is in Oklahoma. Wow. I don't care what anybody says. That place is amazing.
No, we've had several stories that we've heard on air and off air that are related right there to Concho in that area. So
right.
We know that there's a lot of stuff. Like one of our a girl we went to high school with, in fact, she was one of the people who saw the you heard about the Bigfoot there, yeah?
Yeah.
There was videotape
for that too.
yeah. She was one of the people who saw the actually got to see the videotape. So yeah.
Oh wow! See, that's we're also trying to get into, you know, the Bigfoot and all that stuff. That's a mysterious state. We're trying to make it to where it's like everything that makes the state of Oklahoma cool. Mysterious. So we're getting into UFOs, Bigfoot, you know, everything. We're just kind of what the ultimate goal is in it. But
have you gone down to the Bigfoot Festival in southeastern Oklahoma down there?
We actually, Kevin did last year. We was going to go this year. We just scheduling conflicts, but right. we got in really good with Shane Church. I don't know if you know who he is out of the SBA.
Okay.
That guy knows his stuff. You guys want to go hunt Bigfoot, get with that guy.
We went down in 18 and that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
That's what Kevin said. He said, it's not what you would expect. You just go out there and it's, you'll believe he's real by the end of it, you know?
Yeah, well, people have it, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people that are there have stories. And there's one guy in particular, and we were never able to get him on. He was a Native American man, and he was sitting with us at a table, and he starts telling us the story, dude, about a sighting that he had, and his arms were
Concho.
Yeah, was that where it was? His arms were goosebumps and hair standing up as he was telling the story. It was, man, it was crazy. It was a crazy story.
At one point, he was stalking Bigfoot, trailing him. And then the footprints stopped. And he couldn't figure out what happened. You know, they just disappeared, and then he heard like a thump, something drop down from trees behind him, and then the stalker began the stalky. So, you know, so
that thing's awful big to be trying to be getting hunted by. That's
no kidding.
The pictures and stuff and castings, I mean, those feet are like, you know, huge. Bigger than what I can show on the screen probably, but
yeah.
I'd like to get a shot. I'm interested. That's kind of I'm interested in everything right now. It's kind of one of those.
Good. Yeah, that's where we are, man. We're just like, we want to hear it all. We want to hear everybody's obviously weird stories, you know.
So. Yeah, I'm leading ghosts, but I want to cross over a little bit. It's kind of what I'm starting to get into. But
yeah,
it's for the most part. I mean, as far as the investigations and stuff go, we've been to. Yeah, we went back to the Palace Theater back. That was probably one of our first videos that we made. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't expect much out of it. I just knew it was an old theater. Well, they come to find out all these buildings on Main Street were used for other things back in the late, you know, the early days, though, not really 1900s. Right. So this had like a hospital built above it. And, it had a chute that shot a body over to the building next door, which was the mortuary and all that stuff. So they eventually turned those into apartments. Well, we're up there just kind of investigating, not knowing any of the history on this place whatsoever. And which is about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Duncan's a small town, so it, you know, dies pretty much at about 2 o'clock. And we heard just a woman's voice scream, and it was like it was in the room with us. We could hear it with our voices, caught it on the recorders, everything. Just
wow.
Blood curdling. We were looking for a woman being hurt. I mean, it was that intense.
Wow.
The most scared I've been probably in a single situation. I didn't know. I had to sit there for a couple of minutes and gather my thoughts. You know?
That's intense. Man, it's intense, man. It's like, you know, because theaters always seem to be, almost every theater seems to be haunted. Some has its own ghost. Yeah. And of course, hospitals, obviously, always that seem to have some kind of, you know, some kind of haunting, because I mean there's so many things. So when you got a theater that had a hospital above it, man,
that's crazy. That's
a lot of these smaller towns, those main streets, they had stuff like that, hospitals on the top floors and stuff above the pharmacies and junk like that.
Yeah.
It was so if you really look in the history of a place and you come to find out it's actually got kind of a dark history, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, I guess that's the good thing about living in small town Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah, because there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've discovered that because, you know, we grew up in Kingfisher and we, you know, as kids, we kind of were like, well, you know, this town is safe and it's boring and nothing exciting happens here and nothing, you know, strange happens here. And then, of course, we get older and we start talking to people and we learn that there was so much strange and dark stuff going on all the time, all around the, you know, and we've learned a lot about our hometown and a lot of weird things in just in the past, you know, little over a year and a half that, or close to a year and a half that we've been doing this. So,
yeah,
it's crazy.
And
man,
we're
wasn't that long ago when that stuff happened.
Right. Yeah. It's, we're in our 40s, you know, and it's like things that we had never knew were going on the whole time and we had no clue. And, you know, we had our experiences, you know, to ourselves and, but, you know, like we never talked to anybody about it until we started coming on here. And then everybody's coming out of the woodworks telling us these crazy ass stories, man. So your bland vanilla life that you that think you lead.
That was kind of a thing with my story too, is I kept it to myself for so long. Right. I've only just the past probably 2 or 3 years, the first time I really ever told it, but it took me so long to put all the pieces together and stuff. And it was just like, oh man, you know, it's just light bulb, but it, you just keep them to yourself until you figure it out, I guess.
Sure.
Just thought you were crazy your whole life.
Right.
Exactly, man. And that's the thing is like, cause it is any kind of thing that's, you know, oh, I saw a guy walking around with just a torso, or, you know, an old lady popped up outside my window, or any of these things, you know, that are just, that are paranormal, that are unusual, that are outside of the norm, you know, like you said, you know, you didn't tell people because you didn't want to be thought of as weird. You didn't want, you were scared of that. And in a small town, especially, that's bad. You know, you don't want to be an outcast,
right?
You know, and so
it's a different time in small town Oklahoma.
Exactly, right. Dude. Exactly, man. So like, you know, we totally get that. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the reasons that we decided to do this as a, you know, our subject matter is because one, we just fucking love hearing these kind of stories, but two, these are stories you don't normally hear from people, even people you've known well, people you've known your entire life. They don't tell these kinds of stories because everybody does, you know, if you're in the wrong company, people give you the side eye. And then all of a sudden people are talking about you saying, well, this cat said all this and all that. No, you know, he says he's ghost or whatever. And it's just like, you know, that's not their reality. You know, they don't have that. Or somebody's like, yeah. And then they come and talk to you. But like, I saw this crazy thing too, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what we want to give people the place to do that, to be part of the community you know, of seeing, of, you know, these weird experiences.
Right.
Yeah, that's the funny thing though, is that, you know, you guys say you didn't say anything, but it was just like, I don't know. People come up to me all the time. Why didn't you say this when you were younger? Exactly what you just said.
Well, obviously, and you already had, it had already, you already, when you did talk about it to your parents, who should be the people who you look up to the most, you know, they were dismissive, right? You know, they were just like, go to bed. No, you didn't see that or whatever. They saw that shit too, but they were like, no, don't, you know, just go to bed. You didn't hear it. You didn't see it. You're not covered. You know, nothing happened. And so when you keep hearing that over and over again, but you're also keep having more intense experiences, you tend not to talk about it to people because they dismiss you, and if then they, you know, get to the, well, they're, you know, they're crazy or something, and they try, right, they take it in a whole other direction,
right?
And they want to take you and get you like evaluated for something, and but yeah, man, like
now you got a medication,
and it's and so it's like obviously it's obvious why nobody talks about this kind of stuff, because 9 times out of 10 people do not believe you. Yeah. You know, then, and like, you know, and unless they've had experience, mm-hmm, 9 times out of 10 people just simply do not believe you. And they, and a lot of it's because they don't want to believe, you know?
Yep.
They think it's the devil, the demons. And
yeah. Or, right, any, or it's all in your head, whatever it is. It's just like, you know, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to, you know, because it upsets their comfortable life and their comfortable worldview. They're comfortable everything, you know. So,
yeah. Agreed. Crazy, man. Dude, you got any other stuff, man?
That's kind of my craziest stuff, I guess. I've got trying to think of anything from like back in my old days, whatever. Yeah. Here's kind of the first time I really realized that I was getting kind of good at the whole paranormal investigating was me and my cousins were out and we actually went to Geronimo Cemetery over at Fort Sill, which is where Geronimo's buried at. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. But we were walking through right near his headstone and they said that, you know, the medicine man lives there. And we my cousin just kind of sits up there and I've actually still got this EVP somewhere. I have to send it to you guys sometimes so you can hear it. But my cousin goes, is the medicine man here with us tonight? And then a couple seconds go by. No wind whatsoever this night. Big gust of wind comes in, and in the back of that wind you hear, na-na-na, ta-ya. And it took me about 6 or 7 years to get this thing deciphered. But it translated to death to all intruders. That's what it came out.
Whoa, man.
And it was in another language. It was Apache. Apache language.
That's
the best EVP I've ever caught in my life. It took me years to get that translated.
Holy shit.
That was, that was when I knew. I mean, I guess I always knew that Casper was real, but that was when I knew for sure, you know, I can communicate with these guys. I can do this, you know.
Wow.
Might be onto something here.
So wait, you said Casper is real. So is that what you call your buddy? Do you call him Casper?
Buddy.
Okay.
My buddy. Yeah. I got a little buddy. That's this is way to explain it.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Man. What a trip, dude.
People don't look at me as crazy about it now because I've kind of proved it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's
Now everybody's like, okay, you got something there.
Right, yeah. Now you can be the cool, crazy friend, you know?
Yeah. That's funny because you went on, you know, you went on TV and you told the same stories that, you know, and that's opening up, and that's a whole other step than, you know, telling it on the podcast, because at least here, you know, we see your face, but, you know, we know your name, but, you know, the listeners, they don't know all of that. They don't know all that, but like they hear your story, but, you know, going on TV, man, like that's a whole bigger, you know, coming out of the closet, for lack of a better term, you know, the ghost closet or whatever.
Right.
Right after I got home from New York after filming that, I got in my truck and I started driving home and I went, what the hell did I just do? Why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. That's stupid. I shouldn't have done that. And then I was for about, you know, 6 months waiting on it to finally air. So they're just, oh my gosh. And then they finally aired it and it wasn't so bad. And I was just like, okay.
That's cool. All right. Well, that's a brave thing, man. Having people come on here, you know, that's part of the thing that we try to, you know, explain to people. It's like, we understand that the amount of bravery that it takes, you know, to sort of set those feelings aside and come on, you know, but once you get here and we're talking, it's comfortable and it's relaxed. We have yet to have an episode that has just totally bombed, you know, because we weren't able to connect as friends, you know. It's just one of those things that I think is cool about what we're doing, and it's become something that people enjoy listening to, and we've gotten people from all over the world that have come on, that have written, and, you know, and it's been great, man, and we appreciate people like you wanting to share their story, you know, your stories with us.
Oh yeah, now it's kind of got, it makes it to where it helps me a little bit, I guess, almost accept it more. It's just a journey, and now it kind of helps get my story out there, and it helps more people get in contact with me with similar stories, and we can kind of help each other out, figure out the,
for sure.
There's so much more to it. If everybody gets on the same page, you can get so much more out of it, you know, just figure out what's what there truly is in the afterlife, what it truly is.
Yeah, know? Man. And if you have any stuff that comes up that you're like, man, I'd like to share the story, just come back on. It's open door policy, man.
Yeah.
Come back on anytime all you right. want.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Anytime, man. And anybody that you meet through your investigations, you know, send them our way as well.
Yeah, please.
And you've got, so you've got a website for your, you know, your investigation crew. What is that?
We're on Facebook is basically what we do everything on. It's the page is called Mysterious State.
Okay.
And we have probably about 12 or 13 videos up there right now. We do live streams of, it's kind of one thing we do a little bit different is I have a camera where I can live stream all my investigations as well. So if you're watching, you can ask questions and I'll ask them live right there. So you can be a part of the investigation as well.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
So we've started that here in the past couple months. But that's, you know, that's kind of where we do everything at. It's me and Kevin Tucker is my partner on that.
Okay.
Cool.
That's cool. Cool. Well, yeah, we'll make sure to, you know, put a link to that and everything up there. So maybe, you know, get a few more people, come check you out and join the page and all that good stuff, man. Cause that's really cool. And of course, you know, I mean, we love hearing stories from all over, but you know, especially cool, I guess for us, because, you know, because we are, small town Okies, you know, we like hearing about, that's, you know, right. home. So.
Yeah. We're all on the kind of same page. It's like talking to guys from home right now, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, man, that's good stuff, dude.
Yeah, great.
It's awesome.
Great, man. Shit, man. Thank you.
As soon as you mentioned the old lady, like as soon as I got chills. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to, for a long time. It took me a long time to tell a lot of people a lot of these. Mm-hmm. And it's just like now everybody's just kind of like, what the hell, man? And yeah. I just didn't want you guys to think I was crazy, you know?
Right. No, no, dude.
I grew up with and stuff, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. We understand, and of course, when you talk to people and you're telling your story, you know, you remember more, and right. things come up.
Yes, so that's, you're just like, oh, whoa,
yeah.
Deja vu, stuff like that happens to me a lot, and it's mm-hmm. I don't know, it's weird when you start talking to somebody and you have a similar experience, and you're wondering how that connects to what you've had going on, and it's to me, like. I don't think meeting anybody, like, nothing's by chance or anything mm-hmm. like that. I'm weird like that, too. Yeah. You meet everybody for a reason, and there's going to be a reason for them later on down the line or something like that. There's a reason for it, you know what I'm saying? And that's just kind of the way I am with it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, maybe that was the reason why me and you, you know, your wife contacted me is, you know, I could help you realize, hey, maybe you had an experience and you didn't realize.
Yeah, man.
And that was what that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure, man. And absolutely. I continue
my streak of absolute.
None of it.
My absolutely nothing streaks.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Nothing's fine.
nothing's by chance. You know, there's a reason why I had to. There's a reason, you know, that's the only thing I can come up with, that there was a connection there. And that realized, hey,
that's a good way to live your life too. You know, I mean, it really is, because you're, as the Buddhists would say, you know, when you're walking, know that you're walking. When you're eating, know that you're eating. You know, be present in the moment and realize that there's a reason why people that are successful have good, positive, other successful people in their lives, man. It's all about who you, and success can be a multitude of things, but it's all about who you surround yourself with. You know, I just feel that. I feel that, dude. I it's the way I live my life. And the people that you don't get on with, then, you know, hey, man, no hard feelings, you know?
But exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Wish the best for you.
Absolutely, man. But, us weirdos, we got a different path, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, brother. Well, listen, man, we'll let you go, man.
Okay. Well, it's been good and fun, man. I'll keep in touch with you guys.
Absolutely, dude.
Man, definitely.
Please do, man.
All right. Fun. Thanks so much. Those are just awesome, awesome stories. So hope to hear many, many more.
Yeah. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe WHATS hyphen YER-WEIRD-STORY, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
I guess if you're going to be haunted by someone, it might as well be someone that you become friends with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be the best alternative. You know, the Ghostbusters had Slimer, you know.
Right.
And he's got his buddy.
True.
Man, but still, dude, that's just, it's, Dustin, thank you. That was just, that's a wild trip, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing the old lady when he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, and then just everything else.
I suppose when you've been sensitive to those things for that long, and you grow up with that sense that someone is there or whatever it is, at a certain point, you just become used to that, and you become, you just sort of like, okay, this is the way it is for me. And he seems like he's got a really good grasp on it and has really become connected with the whole thing, and he's using it in order to, you know, to help people and to, you know, figure these things out. I don't know what I would do if I saw half a person
floating.
I'd freak out, but he's, you know, he came around to the fact that this entity is in my life for some reason, and I'm just going to embrace it.
Yeah, just blows my mind, dude. Just blows my mind. And then the fact that he, you know, well, I guess in a way he's carrying on his that family tradition of dealing with these things.
Right.
You know, dealing with this other realm.
Right.
But then to, with his group, his investigative group, Mysterious State, going out and, you know, trying to make contact and record and kind of establish something there as, you know, that's pretty cool, man. I don't know if I could, you know, I don't know if I could do that, but I guess, you know, I don't have a buddy, like he does.
Right.
So I don't that I have a comfort or,
right,
you know, feel maybe protected or something like that. I don't know, but like, that's just wild, man. Yeah. It's just,
It's
really cool, though.
It is. It's a different calling. It's a different...
For sure.
I think that the, you know, folks that have the ability to do that and that use it for their life's work, you know, to learn how to harness that, to learn more about it, is, it's admirable. I don't know that I would be able to do that. I'm glad I'm not visited by these entities. I think when I was younger, I used to think, oh, man, that'd be interesting. But now I'm just like, I wouldn't want to be bothered, you know?
Like, yeah, man, you know,
I'm a pretty private person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And we talk about how, you know, we've not had these kind of experiences. And, you know, and I'll say it, I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it, you know, next time too. I'm definitely glad that I haven't had any kind of these experiences, because I don't know how I could take it. I don't know if my underwear could take it.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, no kidding.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why I love hearing about this stuff. And I've always been like this. I always loved hearing about it. I've always loved reading about it. But you know, and you get to that point to where, but here's the line, and the line is, I don't want to experience it.
Right, right, for sure. You know, I got a lot of respect for people that are able to do what he's doing, and yeah, you know, trying to do something with it. I think there's a lot to be said for that, and he's really, it seems like he's really doing something. And you know, I would love, if we can make it work, to go out with him sometime. I've already told my wife that we've got a standing invitation with him, so she
really cool, man. You guys join out, we do a special
a remote,
you know, thing.
Yeah,
remote,
right?
Yeah, special edition cross promotional podcast,
right? And
you guys can
it'll be us in the field, right? It'll be us in the field and you at home. Yeah.
FaceTiming.
Right.
Ooh, what do you see? What do you see?
No, but yeah. But yeah, so thank you, Dustin, for coming on, man. You were a great guest. Yeah, and man, we're just so fortunate that you were able to share that story and give us some more insight on that. If you guys have a chance, go to watch his episode on the Travel Channel, and it's called My Horror Story. His episode is called It Follows.
Check that out. Check out his Mysterious State on Facebook and follow their investigations, and check us out as we are getting ready for next week's episode. And that is Anthony, who's your buddy, works with you there at the brewery, Bear.
That's right. He's got a good story, a couple of good stories, and we're super stoked about it.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We hope that you are warm on the inside as well as you are on the outside, and we hope you enjoyed Dustin's stories as much as we did. We will see you next week. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.